We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Packaday Podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Morley, and I am joined today by Owen Reese. Jacob Westendorf is not with us this evening, but guys, happy Green Bay Draft Guide powered by Packer Report release day. If you pre-purchase that guide, that book, essentially is what it is, that should be in your inbox right now as you're listening to this podcast. So make sure you go check that out. And if you have not ordered it yet, order it. And we're going to talk about some high fits for the Packers once again this week. Last week we covered, I believe, interior offensive line and cornerback fits for the Packers. And you can look at all these fits via the Packer People Top 300 checklist, which should be right at the beginning of the draft guide. Just, you know, years and years of looking at thresholds, kind of seeing where guys fit within Green Bay structure and what they have typically like to do, which is a fun way to break it down. It's always important to note, like, these are estimations, right? They can always go outside of these, and they have in the past, but it is a pretty good compass when you're looking at navigating your way through the 3 days of the draft. Typically, a lot of players the Packers end up drafting are usually have a lot of green next to their name as far as athletic fits. But before we do that, Owen, how are you, man?
We're doing well, man. We're getting closer. Us at UWP start spring ball this week, so that's always fun. It's not real football, but it's the closest thing we'll get until August. And as spring's coming here, I think we had our last couple snowstorms this past week, so things are looking up. The weather's getting nicer, and new Green Bay Packers are on the horizon, which is always an exciting possibility. And then obviously, too, just excited to see, like, the cool thing about the draft to me, right, because, like, every team, every fan base obviously knows best for their team and whatever. But, like, legitimately the cool thing is that every single team coming out of the draft feels, like, better about their team, right? Like, teams can be like, oh, well, you know, what a crappy draft grade or whatever. It's like, no, like, these dudes do this job for a living. They evaluate football players. Do they always get it right? No. But there should be optimism coming out of every single franchise at the end of this month. And I think that's the exciting thing, because as a football coach, and you've done this too, right? Like, all you have is hope, right? Like, there's in August or, you know, OTAs, training camp, whatever, like, the rubber's going to meet the road. Whatever the team's got, they have, right? But the NFL's a little bit different. You can go get different cats. So people are excited about the guys they pick. And I, like I said, that's, as a draft nerd and evaluation thing, that's always an exciting part for me, is that all 32 teams feel good about the dudes they picked, and they feel like they're going to be better, and it's going to help them achieve their goals. So always an optimistic outlook for an optimistic part of the year as things get greener and brighter here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I feel like fake spring is over as a fellow Midwestern. Fake spring, you know, where you think summer's on the horizon and then you get a blizzard. But you're right, man. Like the draft it's hope springs eternal. You know, there is for every bust, for every guy that didn't make it in the league, you know, not for every guy, but I mean, Tom Brady, you know, you're going to hear about it every year until we die. Pick 199, sixth round. That's where Tom, I mean, that's it. That encapsulates the hope that is the draft, because all it takes is one player like that. And they're rare, like very rare, you know, the Tom Brady's, the Patrick Mahomes of the world, the Aaron Rodgers of the world. Like they're so rare to get those guys, but you never know. You never know when that name is called, if that's going to be the guy that's going to, you know, make your fan base the most annoying fan base in the sport because you're winning a bunch of championships, you know, and every fan hopes for that. So, you know, we're going to talk about some guys that today that, speaking of hope and speaking of getting better, Owen, some people would lead you to believe that these two positions we're going to talk about today are not important positions, non-essential positions, non-field tilting positions. And I guess that depends who you ask. And, you know, I'm talking about running back and we're talking about off-ball linebacker, two positions that the Packers are they're going to have bodies. Like I would be shocked if we don't have two linebackers selected in this year's draft. I would be relatively surprised if they don't take a running back at some point. But, you know, I guess I kind of already know what your answer is going to be on this, but what do you say to people that would tell you, hey, you know, Owen, running backs don't matter. We could put any Joe Schmo back there. If we have the hogs up front, that's going to be able to tote the rock for us and get us what we are trying to achieve. Like, what do you say to guys like that? Because even in the coaching world, like there are some coaches that kind of think that way too. Like, put anyone back there. Like if we have the guys in front of them, we can get by with just about anyone carrying the ball.
Yeah. I mean, I played offensive line my entire life. I now coach at the college level. I would disagree. I think the legitimate conversation, the actual, like the veiled discussion point is, to an extent, I think any running back is a bit of a victim to his offensive line, right? Like, and I think in the clear argument there would be like someone like Barry Sanders, right? Who, his greatness was being able to create something out of nothing, right? And he did not have an elite supporting cast, yet was able to really be like the only glimmer of hope that the Lions had for a significant amount of time in their franchise. So I think, like, obviously while Barry Sanders isn't the norm, I think there is an argument for, realistically, like there is an argument for, like, if you don't have a legitimate difference maker at that position, there may not be a ton of volatility to that. I mean, like, I guess I think of someone like, obviously being a Badger fan most of my life and my entire life, I guess, but like the different level of guys there, right? There's a certain level, especially because in college, right, the players turn over more often, but the identity more or less stays the same, right? Like I guarantee you that an opposing team would feel differently about Jonathan Taylor than they did even another fellow NFL player like Dari Ogunbowale or Corey Clement, right? Like, and so while there may be success there with different guys, like I think when you have a special talent, that's when the differentiation actually happens. So typically those championing the running backs don't matter bandwagon typically have either a significant investment into the fantasy football community or and as a member of the UW Platteville coaching staff, Platteville was an air raid program for the better part of 25 years prior to the staff coming together here. And they did have varying levels of success running the ball in the past, but obviously I think teams that are more focused on throwing it more of a, for lack of a better term, finesse or you know, that air raid type of philosophy. Obviously they're more concerned about, you know, their running backs are their receivers, right? Because and the, you know, not the air raid isn't just running four verts every play, you know, but like being able to get to manufacture yards in their offenses with slot receivers or underneath passes, right? So it's a little bit of a different thing. But not at the risk of being too long-winded, I would disagree. I can see, I've matured enough to be able to at least understand their perspective of it, whether or not I agree or whether or not I would follow that as a team building philosophy or neither here nor there. I understand their point. But I think if you look, like if someone could look at you in a straight face and say, it doesn't matter if you have Christian McCaffrey or, I tried to pull PJ Pope or Noah Heron, right? Like an obscure former Packer back, right? Like, I don't think anyone's taking Ryan Grant over Saquon Barkley, right? Like, yeah. You can get their use out of them, but clearly you're going to take the special player over an average one. So using that logic, right? Like, they do matter, right? But they, mm-hmm. to wrap this up, for lack of a better way to explain it, like, they don't matter unless they do.
Yep.
Which, again, I don't agree with, but at least that seems to be the prevailing philosophy. Luckily, under Coach LaFleur, the Packers have very highly valued the running game, which was, I guess, something even back in 2020 I kind of suspected when they took Jordan Love and A.J. Dillon and Josiah DeGuara, and I was like, this team is preparing to be a team that doesn't have – obviously, it's cool that Jordan Love is very good, but preparing to be a team that – doesn't depend on an elite quarterback to be able to function as an offense, which at times with Aaron Rodgers, it was very like let Aaron create something, right? And so the LaFleur system is very run game centric. And as such, they have continued to invest in that part of the game, which I'm very happy about. So luckily, I do think that running backs matter. And I think the Packers do too. And like you mentioned, I think we're going to see at least one new body, if not two, at that position come OTAs and training camp.
Yeah, and you're right. I was going to bring that point up that, you know, who doesn't think the Packers don't matter is, or doesn't think running back doesn't matter is the Packers. Like, they very much value that position, and they've said it, but they've shown it with where they put their pocketbook as well. I mean, Aaron Jones was one of the more handsomely paid running backs in the league until he wasn't, and then they immediately swapped him with someone else that is one of the most, you know, well-paid running backs in the league. They spent a top 100 pick on A.J. Dillon, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do that again. And, you know, the point of, you know, Saquon versus Ryan Grant is a great example, because Ryan Grant, really good football player, like guy that can get you 1,200 yards, is not a transcendent player probably by any, you know, stretch of the imagination. Saquon at his prime though is special. You know, Adrian Peterson at his prime is special, guys that can carry an offense. And you're right. Like, it doesn't matter till it does. And I think the same can be said for the linebacker position to a large extent. Like, there are guys you can get through games with playing linebacker, and there are a lot of them. But if you're going to sit me in the, you know, and look me in the eye and say, do you want Fred Warner on your team? Oh, but you have to pay him. You got to pay him well, but do you want him on your team? And the answer is hell yes. Like, give me Fred mm-hmm. Warner every single day of the week. I think, with the devaluation of the linebacker position, is there's just not many guys like that. Really, really hard to find a player of that caliber that can do, you know, all three phases of the game. Fred Warner is a star. So it's tough. And I don't want to discourage any Packers fans here, but this is not a great running back class, and this is not a great off-ball linebacker class either. And I don't know if there is a Fred Warner in here. But again, back to our original point, Fred Warner was not a first-round draft pick. He was not someone that people were banging down the door to have on their team. But here we are talking about him today as, you know, multiple All-Pro. So, you know, it only takes one. It only takes one guy for your team to see something in. And maybe, you know, maybe he does something that they didn't even see in him. Because I promise you, if people would have thought Fred Warner is who he is, he would have been drafted higher. So that's just kind of how it goes. So we're going to look through just kind of traditionally what the Packers have valued at the running back position. And one thing that I think is interesting is you look at this, they've never really drafted a guy under 205. Like, when Aaron Jones was drafted, I think he was like a 204, 205 in that range. I know he probably played at like 185, but when he came out of UTEP, he was, you know, he was north of 200 pounds. AJ Dillon obviously is another guy, you know, that they've drafted that kind of fits all these things. And then they really value like the explosive numbers. Like, are you like broad jump is one that just jumps off the page. The guys that they have rostered, the guys that they have drafted are all elite broad jumpers. And you look at the running back position, that is such a start stop position, maybe more than just about any other position on the field. But one thing that's interesting in last year's draft class, they took Lou Nichols, who was an outlier, had a super low broad jump. And he actually got beat out by Emmanuel Wilson, who was a tier one fit, who had a phenomenal broad jump. And his athletic numbers were better. So, you know, obviously they thought higher of Lou Nichols, or else they would have drafted, you know, they wouldn't have drafted him over Emmanuel Wilson. But it is interesting to kind of look at, you know, at the end of the day, the guy that ended up being the better player, whatever that means to you, is Emmanuel Wilson. So just something to kind of keep in mind kind of as we go through this. Like, I do think they value that. And I think they value it because it's important. You know, it is a valuable skill set for a running back to have, is, you know, that explosiveness. So guys that are on, you know, there's 10 guys, 10 guys that fit the metrics that the Packers love. Across the board, you know, high RAS, 205 plus, and then that big time broad jump. Only one of them is a consensus top 100 guy that did all the testing, mind you. And that's Trey Benson out of Florida State. He's in our guide at 71 consensus. He's a little bit higher than that. But let's start with him, Owen. Have you had a chance to watch Trey Benson at all?
I have. So I actually scout the ACC for the Shrine Bowl. So I'd be lying to tell you, like, if I did a full four-game deep dive on Trey Benson, but I'm very familiar just through him and the ACC stuff. I would be – he is – as you mentioned, this is not a very high-tier running back class, and Trey is definitely one of the top options in it. Schematically, I would be interested to see if the Packers are very interested in him. He, in my opinion, or my view, has been more of a, he is a very linear and very explosive back. So he does fit what they're looking for there, but I always got the feeling he would excel more in a inside zone gap type scheme, as opposed to the wide zone, more lateral stuff. And obviously Aaron Jones succeeded very much in this type of offense, this wide zone stuff, and AJ Dillon very clearly isn't, right? That's not his thing. So I shouldn't say that would preclude the Packers from considering Trey Benson, but it would be curious to see, because I don't think like their base play on offense would not necessarily be a great skill set fit for him. But definitely an extremely explosive athlete. It was an Oregon transfer a couple years ago. He came in, so he spent 2 years basically as a high production guy at Florida State. And obviously it was a huge part of their offense this past year. They've had a couple different backs come through there. A couple years ago, Jay Sean Corbin was an undrafted free agent to the Giants, I believe. And then last year he split time with, or in 22, excuse me, split time with Trayshawn Ward, who then transferred to Kansas State. So this was Benson's first year as being as the lead back, and he did very well with it. Is an extremely enticing athlete to me, but I'll be curious to see again, because he's very much can be a bit of a runway back. He is a very physical back and will get a lot of yards after contact. But I'll be curious to see if the Packers would be overly interested in Trey, just given his not necessarily symmetrical skill set with what they're looking to do on offense.
Yeah, and like I said, he's the only top 100 guy that did all of his testing. I think the other top 100 guy, really two of them, if you look, Jonathan Brooks from Texas is probably, you know, when you're talking about guys that have a chance to be like that transcendent running back, I think he's probably the only one in this class, but he's also coming off an ACL. So,
yeah, testing.
Yeah, so you start wondering, like, you know, is he healthy? What's that look like? Is he going to be the same guy? And then you start talking about, well, where do you actually take him? You know, these are all things that we don't have access to. You know, we can grade off the film. His film is really good. You know, he looks like a really good football player. someone that would be exciting to have in Green Bay. Now he does, you know, he's a bigger back. He came in at 216. So he is, you know, the size they like. And I would imagine if he did test, I would imagine he would test well. You know, that's what the film tells me. Another guy that I know Packers fans are going to want to know a lot about is Braylon Allen. He's someone, you know, obviously fits the size threshold, was a little bit low on the broad jump, but not so far that you're going to scream like no way, no how they're ever going to look at him. But he didn't do a lot of testing either, which was kind of interesting to me. Was he hurt?
So he's not hurt. From my understanding, and this is certainly not meant to undercut any part of Braylon's camp or anything. From my understanding, Braylon is, because I think he weighed in at like 235 at the combine, and the same at the pro day, and which is obviously lighter. I would be shocked if he played anything lighter than 245 last year. He was, the Badgers had their training camp, their first week of training camp was at UWP, and he was all of 245 there. From my understanding, at one point they were planning on having a separate pro day for Braylon, kind of somewhat similar to what they did with Joe Tippmann last year, who was hurt during the pro day but was able to work out prior to the draft. I don't know if that will happen. But from my understanding, Braylon was cutting weight to run better and was not getting the – again, this is all very secondhand, very connecting the dots – was not getting the times that he was anticipating. And so just simply was not going to run for the sake of running – a time that he wasn't going to be happy with. So also I would say too, like, some of these guys, obviously the testing is very important. And as we've come along here the last few years, there are more and more prospects who are going through the process really without doing much athletic testing, which is neither here nor there, right? Every prospect has their own individual situation. Braylon Allen to me is not a guy that I think I would need to see a ton from, right? Like, just, he's got 3 years worth of starting carries in the Big Ten. He's 20 years old. You know, he's not going to be a speedster. You know, like, I guess if you're looking for like agilities maybe, but outside of that, right, like I think he is about as what you see is what you get from a prospect is what there is in this running back class. So I don't think it should hurt him, he didn't test. And from my understanding, what I've heard, that was the reasoning why. But somewhat in a similar vein, with the Packers bringing back A.J. Dillon, but really under the premise of, like, we're actually kind of saving ourselves some money by doing this. And it's certainly not a guarantee to make a roster spot or anything else contingent on that. Braylon Allen seems like a guy that would make sense to a front office that valued A.J. Dillon a short number of years ago. Those skill sets and size and – I would dare say probably a slightly better overall athlete than A.J. Dillon was. I'm sure A.J. was actually probably faster at his weight, but overall fluidity and mobility, I think I would probably lean Braylon a little bit. So it'd be interesting to see for sure. And obviously it's low-hanging fruit. Braylon's from Fond du Lac. That's not far away from Green Bay. So
football season is over. College basketball season is over. The NBA and NHL regular seasons are almost over, but guess what? We are still in a wonderful sports time of year with the start of a new baseball season already kicked off and NHL and NBA playoffs right around the corner. And what better way to get hyped for playoff hoops and hockey than by signing up for Prize Picks and getting in on the excitement with America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is the place where you can use your knowledge to take $10 and turn it into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball entries today. That's 100 times your money with as few as 4 correct picks. And here's something I haven't even mentioned yet. You can play against some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill or Sugar Shane O'Malley. Just go to Community Plays under the Promos tab to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community. And one of my favorite aspects of Prize Picks too is injury insurance. Your entries will stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For example, let's say you have a basketball player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second half. That player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry still stays alive. This week, I'm going NBA heavy. I'm looking for a Bucks bounce back with Giannis, a fiery Kevin Durant to end the season, and Luka Doncic going scorched earth as they try to secure a better seed. Listen, I'm having a blast with Prize Picks, and you should be too. So download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And he would be an interesting fit on this team because sometimes what they do is a little bit confusing to me. Like the AJ Dillon pick, it's like you want it. You know, they act like they want to be like this outside zones team, and then they take a guy like A.J. Dillon, who's probably better in a gap scheme, and they don't really draft linemen that should really fit gap power, you know? So it's just kind of like it's interesting to me. So that's why if they do go out and select someone like Braylon Allen, I don't know if that would signal the end of A.J. Dillon or if it would signal just like, hey, we have three big MFers at running back and we're just going to try to mash face. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, so it would be interesting.
Yeah. It's an interesting thought because like, I think, and even like the post pick press conferences and stuff, you know, I think they even, if I remember correctly, kind of mentioning like, that's a big back for on the goal line, short yardage situations, but you're right. They don't build their offensive line to necessarily be like overly successful in those situations. So it is a bit different. I do think though, like, and I remember in particular, I think it was Dillon's rookie year, like against the Titans late in the year, like it was a December home game. And it was just very clear. Like sometimes a lot of us overcomplicate the game. And simply it was just like, that's a big dude who's not fun to tackle in the cold. And I'm getting tired of trying to tackle him in the cold. And so kind of in that same vein, like, it just simply may be a flavor or a, for the sake of having variety in your types of running backs. Like, no, like we're just going to get a big dude that's tough to tackle. And we play outside in the North. Like he may not be a perfect fit. I don't really care.
Yeah. And maybe they're thinking we don't draft our offensive linemen to really move people in the run game. So let's get a running back that's, you know, BYOB, you know, bring your own blocking. And we're just going to let that guy do it. So I don't know. That could kind of be, you know, with their thought process. And, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence that AJ Dillon typically looks better in November, December, you know, when we kind of get down the stretch. Unfortunately, he's also gotten hurt the last couple of years down the stretch too. So, you know, maybe they want to bring a guy in like that. It's an interesting thought. But let's talk about, you know, there's, like I mentioned, there are 10 guys on this list. We're not going to talk about all of them. Cause I go buy the guide, you know, go check it out. But two guys that I want are really, let me give you three guys because I know these are all three Shrine Bowl guys. So guys that I think you are relatively familiar with. The first one is Isaac Gorendo, the Louisville kid. I think he played at Wisconsin at one point. So I think a lot of Packers fans are probably familiar with him. Tyrone Tracy from Purdue is another one. And then another kid that I know that they have either met with, I don't think they've brought him in on the top 30. I could be wrong on that, but I know that there have been reports that they have been interested in him, and that's Blake Watson out of Memphis. So talk to me a little bit about Gorendo, Tracy, and Watson.
Yeah. So a couple interesting career arcs here. So Isaac Guerrero, you're right, was a member of the Wisconsin Badgers for 4 years. He was a multi-time 100-meter champ in high school in Indiana. He played wide receiver at Avon High School, which is a big-time powerhouse in that area. Blake Fisher, who will probably be a second or third-round pick out of Notre Dame this year, was an Avon kid as well. So Guerrero came to Wisconsin as a receiver, but was transitioned to running back fairly quickly. And he stacked on some weight. He probably came in at like 195 pounds and eventually ended up at 215, 220-ish. But the speed stayed, right? So like former 100-meter champ. I remember there was one spring that he, like the catapult data in the spring, had Guerrero at like 23 miles an hour, which even I remember Jonathan Taylor commenting on was like, I only ever hit 22, you know, like at a baby Isaac, whatever it was. Has often been injured throughout his career. He's had multiple long absences from playing due to injury. Also will be one of the most – I'm sure there's obviously like the Packers just drafted Lucas Van Ness in the first round without a ton of starting production. But like Isaac Guerrero, I would have to check this to be sure. We'd be willing to bet he has zero career starts. Was behind Jonathan Taylor. Was behind Ches Malusi, who will be an NFL back next year from Wisconsin, was behind Braylon Allen, who is an NFL back this year for Wisconsin, and then transferred to Louisville and sat behind Jawar Jordan, not sat behind, but shared carries with and was not the starting back with Jawar Jordan, who's also in this class, who will also be either a draft pick or will make a roster or will be in a camp, right? So he's been a part of talented running back rooms, but prior to this year had not had much for production. Some of that's playing time related. Some of it, Isaac Guerrero to me is a fascinating eval because I believe he's an extremely volatile player. Probably going to be a guy that in a game is going to have 4 to 5 touches. And anytime he touches it, he's capable of going 80 yards. But he might be a guy that has 5 carries for 87 yards. And 78 of them came on one run. And it's,
you know, who he reminds me of is Isaiah Pacheco, because he's either running for 30 yards or he is running right up the backside of his own offensive lineman. Like he's very much like, hey, run here. Okay. And if it's not there, it's not there. You know,
Guerrero is not a natural running back. Like he says, obviously he's played it in college, but was not. And I'd be willing to say, like, I'll be curious to see how he's valued with the new kick return rules. I think he's a guy that he had some experience with that at Wisconsin, and obviously the track background, like he's got a ton of straight line pure speed, but also I'd be curious to see if teams want to try to use him just due to that, like, running back instinct of kind of in the way the new rules will be set up. Basically, if you can get past the first level, you're gone, right? Like it's a very boom or bust type play. But yeah, he's a guy. He did have a very good year this past year at Louisville, even sharing carries with Jordan. He did rush for 10 touchdowns, had a couple of really big games, had a big one against Virginia, had a big one against North Carolina State as well. So Guerrero is a guy. I do think he's like one of those fascinating like fifth-year college player that still has a ton of potential because he just simply hasn't played a ton. And so that's good for the legs. He was in my group at the Shrine Bowl. He also participated at the Hula Bowl as well. But I texted him after the combine. I said, like, hey, man, congrats on the 40. That's awesome. I was like, you're going to go faster at your pro day. And he texted me back. He said, I'm never running a 40-yard dash ever again. good kid. That stuff doesn't matter. I'll be curious to see. It wouldn't surprise me if some team drafted him in, like, the fourth or fifth round. I'm assuming he's going to go undrafted just simply as a team's being like, I don't know what to do with this thing. He's very fast. He's a running back, I guess. Like, but he does have a skill set and he does have a trump card that, like, I'm as fast as anybody on the field whenever I'm on it. Also, I weigh 222 pounds.
I'm going to be really impressed if you remember this person's name. Because it's on the tip of my tongue here, but it's a kid. He played running back at Arizona like 7-8 years ago, ran a really fast time, did not have good college tape, and then was drafted like in the second round. How sick are you? It's like Michael. It's like Henry. It's not. It's something Henry. It's Chris terrible. Is it Chris Henry?
Because it was the same. Because it was the same thing. Because he got drafted. It wasn't Chris Henry, the receiver, but it was Chris Henry because he was on the Titans the same year that Travis Henry was. But yes, he was a speed back.
Wait.
I think he was a second or third round pick.
That's impressive. That's really impressive. Arizona Wildcats. Yep.
Somewhat similar profile, but yeah, just that like again, like some team, if they're really confident in their coaching staff and they think they have a defined vision for this kid, it would not surprise me if someone falls in love with him and says, like, and I don't know if we've specifically mentioned this on this pod or not, but like this is the last of like the COVID draft classes.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's not with the prevalent, like this is the, like, what I meant by that is this is the last year that kids can go back. Like they were freshmen in 2020. They can now be that fifth year. And with NIL and so many kids staying in school, I don't think this draft class is super deep period. Like I bet you like a lot of teams have like 170 draftable players and there's 260 spots. Right. So like, It wouldn't surprise me at all if he goes undrafted, but it also wouldn't surprise me at all if Garendo goes in like the fifth round and everyone's like, we drafted a guy in the fifth round who's never started a game in college, right? Like it's kind of it's a weird, like,
yep,
that's lacking context, but his odd situation you can kind of like spin be however you want it to be. So that's Isaac Garendo. Very interesting concept, very fast. Not a bad receiver out of the backfield, but you can tell there's a reason he was moved to running back. But yeah, very interesting. Also very interesting, Tyrone Tracy, right? Was another Hula and Shrine Bowl guy. So Tyrone Tracy played this year at Purdue as a running back. Prior to that, he played at Iowa for 4 years as a wide receiver. And so obviously, like, I'm not going to blame anybody for looking their way out of Iowa with the way their offense has been the last few years. But so Tyrone Tracy, when he was getting recruited out of high school, I don't know the coach's name in particular, but so when he was getting recruited out of high school, there was a coach at the time who was like, you're a running back. And he's like, no, bro, like I'm a receiver. Like if I'm getting recruited to play receiver, I play wide receiver. And the coach is like, no, you're a running back. Anyways, goes to Iowa, plays receiver, right? Like kind of not a ton of production. Iowa's offense has not had a ton of production, let's be real, the last couple of years. But so then this past year transfers to Purdue because he kind of hit the portal because he was like, I have one more year to make something happen and I don't think it's going to be at Iowa, right? That coach was now at Purdue and saw him in the portal and was like, yo, you ready to start playing running back now? And it was finally this really interesting moment where he's like, I'm trying to go to the NFL. I've done nothing but play wide receiver, like, and kind of took a leap of faith and said like, okay, fine, like I'll play running back at Purdue. And had a hell of a year and is just blown up in this draft, this post-season process, right? Like tested extremely well, played at the Hula Bowl, played at the Shrine Bowl, did well. He's a bigger back, probably like the closest thing, like body-wise, I could probably say is like not far off of like Antonio Gibson. A little bit of a bigger, I don't want to say scat back, but like a bigger like mover at the position. You can tell you can tell that he's like only played the position for a year at times. So when he sees something, he really hits it, but he's still developing that feel of really truly like manipulating second level defenders by pressing the line of scrimmage and being able to do that stuff. All that being said, for all of the haters and losers who do not believe that running backs matter, you're getting a former college receiver, a running back, right? So like, immediately this kid should be able to, one, be able to flex out and be able to run empty out of 10 personnel. Two, is going to be a threat out of the backfield, right? Arrow routes, angle routes, among other things, right? You can ask him to run real routes. He's played receiver for 4 years. And again, like was as a super high level athlete, in all this testing, I think he was a 4.4 guy, right? 10 foot plus broad jump, 30 height, like 38 inch vertical. He's a guy that admittedly, like I wouldn't have told you, like he's super bursty as a player at the Shrine Bowl, but like has tested like it and plays well and is a unique story. And so that's something I think that he's going to appeal. I would be shocked if he's not drafted at this point. I think some team's going to fall in love with him and that skill set and say, like, he's only done this for a year. Like, we can make this kid better. So Tyrone Tracy is another guy that would make sense. I think he's probably a bit of a wide zone type back because we've seen this, not necessarily this staff, but the Packers have done this, right? Like, when they moved Ty Montgomery to running back, it was just like, turn everything into a kick return.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's a similar thing you can do with Tracy, the wide zone stuff, like get out on the edge and let him sort it out and go. And so he'll be a good there. I think he's a guy that would fit quite a bit in Green Bay. And then the third back was Blake Watson, who has tested very well. Admittedly, not doing I'm more familiar with Big Ten guys just living here. I was not super familiar with Blake Watson. Had a heck of a week down by the Shrine Bowl. Had a good Shrine game as well. I believe it was like the first play of the second half. He caught a screen, and Big Mason McCormick was rumbling out in front of him about 25 yards downfield. Watson's a guy who kind of reminded me a lot of like Kenneth Gainwell. Like, is going to be a receiving scat type back. Can be a traditional running back, but I think his value is going to be in the pass game as a catcher out of the backfield, can be a third down back and kind of be that threat that way. So Watson's a guy I know, like I said, I was not super familiar with. Eric Galco, our boss, the Shrine Bowl, has been trumpeting him for quite a while. And now is a guy who's put himself, I think, in the position to get drafted. I think he probably wasn't a guy that was necessarily in that conversation, but again, was at the Memphis Pro Day, put up big time numbers, was not a combine invite, but another guy that would make sense. And we were kind of discussing, like, I think Green Bay is going to be looking for some variety in their body types, right? Like, Josh Jacobs is a bigger back, much bigger than Aaron Jones was, but he's not a like power back, you know. Like, I wouldn't say that Josh Jacobs is like a plotter, you know, that's just this big body kind of like Dylan is. And so someone like Watson would be a different body type in there, that again can bring a different skill set and bring a different flavor to the room, which I think any offense should be looking for. But I think in particular, like, you don't want to pigeon yourself into just having big power backs and kind of lacking that variety in your room.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, and what's interesting about all three of those guys too is they are older prospects too. Like, you talked about the, you know, these are all COVID kids, right, that stayed longer. Yep. I think Watson's 24, Tracy's 24, the Louisville kids.
Yeah, I think it's 22 or 3, but yeah.
And I don't care about that position, like, at all. You know, like, a lot of these running backs don't get a second contract anyways. So –
Especially if you're thinking about drafting them on day 3, yep. Who knows if they're going to make the roster even. So,
which is tough business, you know, for these guys to come in and say you're a really, like, I referenced Pacheco already, but like, man, he's a 7th round draft pick. He's not making a ton of money. Kansas City's just going to use him up and maybe give him a second contract. Probably not. We'll see. You know, so like, some of these guys, it's tough, but that's a different topic for a different podcast. Let's jump to the off-ball linebackers. You know, a position, again, like, they need bodies. Like, if today was to be – if the they had a game tomorrow, you're probably looking at, you know, Eric Wilson as one of your starting linebackers, which, honestly, Owen, I don't think Eric Wilson's a terrible football player. So, like, I think you could do worse. But obviously it's a position that they're going to need to add to, and maybe high, maybe pretty high. I wouldn't be surprised if one of their first three picks is an off-ball type. I don't know if there's anyone worth the 25th overall pick. You know, Peyton Wilson, his tape is awesome. Fun player to watch.
His brother pitches for the Brewers.
Yeah, but his medicals are scary. So you got to be comfortable with that. You know, you got to be comfortable with the fact that, like, if you're taking a guy at 25, which, I mean, honestly, his tape probably is good enough to take at 25. But you got to be willing to say, like, this guy probably, and, you know, not probably, but maybe isn't going to get a second contract, because who knows if he's going to make it. But these are all, you know, risks that they're, you know, they have to sort through. They got to figure that stuff out. That's why they have these guys in, and so on and so forth. But, you know, guys that they have brought in, and Peyton Wilson is a very high fit for this team as well, as far as, you know, athletic ability. But it is interesting, because two of the higher fits that they have, they've actually brought in the last couple of weeks, and that's Trevin Wallace, the Kentucky kid, and then Tyron Hopper from Missouri. Hopper wasn't a Shrine guy, was he? I know you guys had a few Mizzou kids there.
No, we had Jalen Carley's
and then one of the safeties, right? Or is that the safety?
Carley's was the safety. I believe that might have been it.
That's what I'm thinking of, Ben. But he's a big safety, right? He's a bigger kid.
Okay, yeah, so he may be a Will convert.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Those two guys, you know, right out of the gate are high fits that they're bringing in, which is a lot of fun. But someone that was a Shrine guy, and someone that has been talked about a ton throughout this process, someone that it's almost seems like one of the worst kept secrets that Green Bay is really interested in is the Edgerrin Cooper kid out of A&M. You look at his numbers across the board, he's a 9+ RAS guy, only 22 years old. His broad jump would be a little bit low for what they've typically liked at that position, but I think it's good enough that they'd be comfortable with him. Especially when you compile all the other athletic measurables, that he has. He's a longer type kid. He's not quite as long as like Quay or Javondre, were, but he's like 6'2". He's got good length in his arms and whatnot. Super, super athletic kid. Instincts maybe are a little bit of a question, I think, when you watch him. But honestly, that's kind of what they've loved, it seems like, at that position. The thing that I struggle with Edgerrin Cooper, and Owen, you can talk about this a little bit while you talk about your Shrine guy, is him and Quay to me seem like very similar players, and you are probably just running 4-2 nickel with those two guys just running around like madmen. But they both seem like Will linebackers to me. And how do you get both those guys on the field? So like that, you always are trying to piece this stuff together with, you know, who they're talking to, who they like, and then who's on the roster currently. And for me, that one's kind of confusing. I like Edgerrin Cooper a lot as a player. But I just look at the roster as it's currently constructed. And I think there are questions and fair questions to ask. Like, okay, so like, what would he do for this team?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. And they said, I think it was in one of Halfley's first press conferences, they talked about that they see Quay as a Will, which makes sense, I think. And take as much as when Devondre had his little Twitter rant about the former staff, right? I think ideally Quay Walker's your Mike, right? Like that size and that profile, and like in my brain, that's what makes the most sense. In which case, Edge Cooper, who is only a Will, makes a bit more sense. But you're right. I think it would be a bit redundant, at least in the starting lineup, to have those two guys again. I'll be curious to see. And like the big, right? Like we've seen Halfley's defenses at Boston College, but you don't know exactly that that's necessarily how he's going to ask pro guys to play, as opposed to trying to fit that scheme to his talent at BC, right? So in an ideal world, I think the Packers would like to get Quay Walker to play Mike linebacker, in which case Cooper would be a fit. Unfortunately, Quay can't do that because he wears number 7, and we want to be a respectable football franchise. But Edge Cooper's a guy, did not practice at the Shrine Bowl, was dinged up coming off the season and only interviewed with us. But yeah, just blew up the combine. What's always seemed to be a good sign for me is Edge's best game is like, go watch the Alabama game. If you don't get Edge Cooper's hype, go watch the Alabama game. He was everywhere. super high energy player, very athletic. Again, not a guy I think that you want necessarily like trying to like combat and shed blocks and stuff all the time. But an athletic player that really flies around, has a good nose for the football. And I think would be a, you mentioned this, right? Like Peyton Wilson may be the only linebacker that really warrants that spot. I would be surprised if Cooper makes it past like 50.
Yeah.
Right. And I would say that to his skill set anyways, he could get a little bit of inflation here just simply by being the only non-Peyton Wilson, non-three repair shoulder surgeries and two ACLs linebacker that teams are considering in that level. So I think he would be a good fit. I think in a worst case scenario, you draft him anyways and you figure it out. I feel better with him being on the roster than not. But yeah, that's not a perfect scheme fit, unfortunately, unless you're, again, playing Quay Walker at Mike, which I think ideally, you mentioned Quay's a bit longer. He's got more of that body type, is a bit of a more physical and strong player, but we'll have to see, right? Like there have been times where Quay has looked a bit, and I hate saying this as a coach, but has looked a bit lost. And that was as a Will. So not maybe the most confidence inducing thing, moving him to Mike and having him have the green dot and call plays and also do that. But we shall see. But yeah, Cooper, I think is the best, like if the Packers are going to take a home run swing at a linebacker, that's the one that makes the most sense to me.
Yeah. And especially when you talk about need, value, all kind of aligning, I think pick 41, like if you hear Edgerrin Cooper's name called at pick 41, like that would make a lot of sense. You know, I think a lot of Packers fans would understand pretty quickly, you know, why they did that. And he's someone that they've kind of had their eye on through the whole process. Another kid. So like two other kids, I think you said Curtis Jacobs is a Shrine Bowl kid, right? Or no?
Yeah. Curtis was with us out of Penn State. Yep. Another Will linebacker, to be honest.
Yeah.
But a guy that I was very surprised, and this is a weird, like an odd sentiment to say, because obviously like as East-West Shrine Bowl, we're competing, air quotes. This is great podcasting with the Senior Bowl for guys. Right. And so when I watched Curtis Jacobs in our cross checks, I was like, this dude's really good. Like I'll be surprised if we get him. And lo and behold, we ended up getting him in Frisco, and he was awesome. Flew around all week at practice, really energetic and lively kid too, which again doesn't necessarily matter, but I think we've talked about at times like the Packers could probably use a bit more personality and enthusiasm on defense. And so Curtis is a guy that brings that. Again, more of a Will player, played really well against Ohio State. That was like the one game that I really focused on for our cross check stuff. But again, yeah, another guy I probably like a fourth roundish. The Packers would take him in the middle of day three, early middle day three guy. Was a guy that played around a lot of really good linebackers at Penn State. Never quite like really took off the way that I think that a lot of those Penn State fans thought he was going to. Not to say like he didn't have a good year and wasn't a good player, but I would venture to say Curtis Jacobs' best football may still be in front of him. And so depending, like I said, it only takes one team, but probably that third, fourth, fifth round would mm-hmm. seem to be his type of sweet spot.
He's kind of one of those, like, hey, if they're doubling up, you know, like he might be the second guy they take. Like him, mm-hmm. I'd say yeah. Wallace, you know, Wallace, the Kentucky kid too, is kind of in that same vein.
Who projects more of a true Mike, yeah.
Yep. But super athlete, you know, super athlete, guy that they're going to like and probably is going to go in a range, like, you know, late day two, early day three. Do you know, this is I watched this guy the other day. And he's wild. Do you know who his name's Riley Sharp, Oregon State?
Not familiar, no.
This kid is, let me pull this up real quick. He is I just had it. Again, this is great, great podcasting once again. So he is a, you know, 9 RAS kid, 93rd percentile broad jump. He's 6'6". Played tight end for 4 years at Oregon State and just switched to off-ball linebacker.
Love it.
And he's not ranked. He's not a consent. Like he is very much like a camp guy. Like he's going to be UDFA. He's also 25 years old. And so he's an older guy making that switch to linebacker. But when you talk about like what is Green Bay valued in the past, like lanky guys with explosive numbers. He's someone that I just keep an eye on him as someone that Green Bay may or may not be somewhat interested in, just because his tape is fun. Like, he looks like a guy that played tight end for a lot of years and then switched to linebacker. Like, the way he initiates contact and stuff, it still looks like he's on the other side of the ball, but he's someone that's fun to watch. But if you're into just kind of like those no-name guys that are at the end of the list, like, pick up the Green Bay draft guide, because we went real deep into this on guys that, like, hey, they just athletically they fit. And we know the Packers, one, they need bodies at the position, and two, they love taking swings at some of these athletes and just kind of, hey, we'll see what happens. But speaking of see what happens, you guys are going to have to wait to see what happens till next week, because that are the two positions that we are going to talk about this week. And who knows what we'll talk about next week. Hopefully we get Dorf back. But if not, we'll see. Owen, what do you got? You got one thing.
I just wanted to shoot back in one more guy that fits the Packers spots, but is definitely not going to be a guy. I don't know if he's in the draft guide, but definitely should not be on anyone's consensus boards or anything else. Joe Andreessen, just quickly, anecdotally, transferred from Bryant to Buffalo this past year, which to most people would be meaningless. And to anyone that has any semblance of an actual life, it will continue to be. Andreessen was an absolute tackling machine at Bryant. And why that matters is, coming into this past season, Buffalo had the nation's tackles leader in Sean Dolak at Mike, right? They brought in Joe Andreessen. Andreessen's a much better linebacker than Sean Dolak is, and was down at CGS this year. Would not surprise me if he's a PFA special teams guy. Super active, flies around, super physical. Obviously, this is all saying, like, right, like, went from a Division II to an FCS to Buffalo, right? Like, it's not like he's a top prospect, but someone that was really good down at CGS, is an experienced and highly productive player at two different levels now. Again, a guy that, like, you would not be surprised if Green Bay targeted as a PFA, and can play, I think, Mike and Will in a pinch, which we're turning into a numbers game, right? And I think, too, with simply Green Bay converting to a 4-3 team again, we'll simply carry more linebackers, right? Like, we'll have more than just the traditional 2-3 linebackers as the 3-4 team, right? Like, the outside guys are really just D linemen. And so while the Packers are going to be bringing in more dudes in camp, Joe Andreessen's another guy would not surprise me if they were interested in. And then on the very off chance that they do sign him, you can go to your friends at work and say, hey, on the Pack a Day podcast, I heard about Joe Andreessen back on April 8th, and now he's a Packer.
Yep, and he is in the guide. He's not ranked, but he is on my short list here. He's a tier one fit, 9.3 relative athletic score, 23-year-old with an 86 percentile broad jump. Like, that screams Green Bay Packer. So there are guys on this list, I'm telling you, that, you know, if you buy this guy, there are going to be some guys on this list you're going to say, why are you even talking about this person? And some of that is valid, but it's really just because we're complete sickos. So go out and pick yourself up a guide if you have not already. I promise you, you're not going to regret it. But we will catch you guys again here next week. Same place, same time. And until then, go Pack, go.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance.
From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.